God is so deep, but yet he wants to reveal himself to us. It's like the deeper you go. I read this weekend the story. I mean, I was reminded of the story of Moses going in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Moses would go and spend hours. It is a dangerous place to be when you come before the Lord and a phone call is removing you from it. Or a distraction. Some of you, you can't even come here for an hour and not be texting other people out there. I mean, some of you might even be checking Facebook right now. God, guys, we serve a holy God! We serve a holy God! And when I cried, I was like, God, people need to get that revelation. We need to get that revelation. We think God is our partner. Somebody can just say, God, what's up, dude? God is a holy God! And until you get that revelation, there's a debt in God you will never understand. My heart is like torn apart.
It's a good torn apart because I got to experience God's heart for 24 hours. Turn everything off. Just be in the house. Just be in the presence of God. Thank God you're here. But I tell you, sometimes you come here, your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking, when is it going to be 12? I got this, I got that, a long list of things. Rightly so. When will you encounter him? I've been talking about being passionate about God. And I'm not talking, what I'm saying has nothing to do with doing. Doing. It's not doing. God is not in the business of doing. But man, it's a dangerous place to be. When you don't understand God is the devouring fire. God is holy. When you come before God, you come before him with awe. You don't come before the king like the king is just your everyday friend. You come before the king with reverence. With reverence. With respect. And that's what I pray. And the Lord's asking me questions. That's what I pray over our church this weekend. I said, Lord, you're coming back. You're not coming for a lukewarm church. You know, you're in worship. You will always be holy. You're checking your phone. Holy, you're looking up. You don't know what to do in worship. Because you don't understand what worship is. The angels fall down flat on their face. I'm not telling you to fall on your face. That's not what I'm saying. But it's the attitude. God is holy. Holy forever. Oh my goodness. Holy forever. David said, he's like, man, Lord, one day. Oh, people would be like, aren't you tired? Guys, I'm not tired. I don't feel physically tired. I had a good night's sleep last night. One of the best night's sleep. I woke up this morning. I'm like, man, oh, wow. Yeah, because my spirit has encountered the Spirit of God. And I'm like, yes, that's what the Lord wants for you. Your body doesn't want that. You will always have things to take you. I mean, how many times I said, as a congregation, I call our church to pray once a month. I know some of you can't drive at night. But there are some of you here I've never seen during our prayer night. A church who's not praying is a dead church. A Christian who is not praying, if you don't have a prayer life, you're dead spiritually. You're not in the Word? It can't be like a chore. Can't be a chore. I love the Word. I'm like, man, I could spend another day. I get it. Wow. Better is one day in your courts. You got to go take care of other things, you know. But better is one day. It's like, wow, God, it's, man, you're so good. Opening up the presence is just so cleansing, so liberating. It's like, man, I'm becoming free. I'm becoming free. My vision is like sharpened. Oh, I just come before the Lord with no other agenda. I said, Lord, I'm just coming. It's something the Lord told me yesterday. I wrote it down. He said, you remember, have you ever encountered someone who's your friend and they talk too much? You know, so that good friend you have, they're always talking. They're always talking. I got my notebook. I wrote it down. I said, have you? Oh, yeah, you can sit down, baby. Yeah. Oh, come here, come here. You sit up here. Yeah. Have you ever encountered that friend? And I said, yeah. I wrote it down. And I said, yeah. And then the Lord said, that's how people treat me sometimes. I said, wow. We come before God. We tell him, oh, God, I'm sick. God, won't you do this? God, won't you do that? God, this. Well, how about you come and shut up? Be quiet. How about you come and just be still and learn to know that he's God? Be still. First of all, it's going to take a long way to get your mind, a long time to get your mind be quiet, to be quiet. It might take a couple practice. Fasting. Praying. You won't survive if you're not in prayer, if you're not intentional about seeking God's face. You won't survive. Jesus is coming back. I'm going. And I know there are some of you here, you are more than ever on fire for the Lord. I'm not focusing on the people or your response. But I'd hate it for the trumpet to sound and you missed it. So I'm sitting back there, and the Lord's like, go to John. So I went to John. I spent a lot of time in John, and he took me to the story of when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said, Jesus is talking to them. He said, well, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And then he said, you guys, if you were son of God, you would believe in me. And then they said, well, no, we sons of Abraham. Now, remember, the Pharisees, they studied the law. They studied, there was between 613 to 669 laws. They knew them. And those guys, they were like the Pharisees. They were watching people from, you know, they were like just making sure everybody obeys the law. But yet their heart was so far from God. So far from him. And the Lord said, you see the thing is, Jesus said, this is how you differ. This is how you make the difference from the true sons of God and the sons of Satan. He says, anyone who does not obey, not 50%, 100%, if you're not walking in obedience to the word, check out whose son are you. So I'm talking to this guy. The guy speak the language, you know, the church language. People who goes to church, they speak the language. He's a professional. So I said, yeah. I said, what church do you go to? He says, it depends. I said, what do you mean, it depends? He said, yeah, it depends what church needs, where church needs me. Because he's a professional. He does, you know, he does sound for churches, just, you know, fix churches' sound. So I spent 3 days with him last week. And it was, you know, we talking and stuff. I said, wow. So I said, you don't have a local church? I said, well, are you a believer? He says, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm thinking. I said, you're not a Christian? He says, no. I said, but you go to church every Sunday. If that guy doesn't repent, Jesus come and find him in his sin, he's in trouble. Now, when the rapture happened, those people, they will understand what happened. Because people in church, if you are in church and your life is not 100% surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, you will know when the rapture happened because you will remain. You will be left behind. You will be left behind. And then that's when your eyes going to opened up. You're going to be crying. You're like, man, Lord, Pastor Ricardo told me, oh, man, I didn't know it was that soon. And then you're going to have to give your life for Christ. Salvation is free. Deliverance is not free. And there's going to come a time salvation won't be even be free. You have to pay for it with your physical life. Right now, it's all emotional, your will. And once you surrender your will to the will of the Father, it's easy. I tell you, following Jesus is very easy. Surrender. Obey. You can't be in bed with the world and assume that you are a son or a daughter of Christ. It doesn't work. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, yeah, you don't love me. Anyone who hates a fellow brother is not in the light. Anyone who hates a fellow brother is not in the light. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Your physical body will never like prayer until it's surrendered to the will of Father. We're not going to take our flesh in heaven. This flesh will die. All of us will die. Get over it. Whether you are 60, 30, whatever your age is, we will die, right? Dying for the person who died, that's good, especially when they die in the Lord. But for us behind, left behind, it's not fun. We all know it. Everyone prays. Have you ever encountered a Muslim? They pray 7 times during the day. And sometimes they carry their mat and they lay their mat wherever they at. I told you stories. Don't want to give you a story right now. Have you ever talked about somebody or even online? Somebody says, oh, we'll pray for you. Who are they praying to? Oh, I'll pray for you. Who are you praying? What are you praying? You see, what people fail to understand. God is good. He created everything. But God is not the father of everyone until you submit your life under his lordship. And then, when you call his name, he'll answer. See, prayers also has principles. Principles. Great principles in prayer. A very simple verse, 2 Chronicles, right? You guys remember it? 7, 2 Chronicles 7. You can put it on the screen for me. It says, if, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If, what does the word if means? Yes. There is a condition. Yep. I'll give you $500 if you come to work You do this, you do that. Those are the conditions. Some people, they hear $500, give. But they forget about the condition between the give, the start, and getting the $500. And they think they should get $500. No. Well, yeah, you should get $500. But you didn't follow the conditions. See, that's why Christians' life, some people who go to church call themselves Christians, their life is so miserable. Because they're not applying some of those principles. Then if my people who are called by my name, who? My people. Humble themselves. Humble? You know the opposite of humble is pride. Even in worship, I tell you, sometimes some of the reason, one of the things that causes us to not express ourselves in worship is pride. You're too prideful. Pick me up, turn me around. You know, I'm not saying you must dance. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of time, you don't even want to express your worship to the King of Kings because you're too prideful. You're too prideful. There's nothing like being humble before the Lord. I'm challenging you. Seek God in your personal walk. Seek God at home. Fast. Search for Him. Lay down. Lay on your face before Him. Seek for Him. Kneel down. Say, Lord, I need You. Jesus, I need You. King of Kings, you know. Worship to You, Father. Act of worship. I pray the Lord will give you a revelation that He is holy. Now, when I was growing up, they used this verse in the Old Testament that says, when God is in His holy temple, let everyone who enters be in awe. So then they told me I couldn't come in the church building wearing shorts. They thought it was the outside appearance. They said, before you go in the sanctuary, you must be in suit and tie. But then once you go out there, you can pull out your cigarette and start smoking because God's not in your heart. Later on, you can check the computer and watch pornography. Or when there's a wild party, now the Bible says not to take part in wild party. The deeds of darkness. Expose them. Expose them. Halloween, you do not partake in that. Or expose them for what they are. If my people, you God's people, I don't know. I hope so. If my people, I tell my kids, I see it in their life, I thank God that they are following Jesus for themselves. Because now, they're not kids anymore. They're adults. They have the choice. I pray that none of us are doing God because of somebody else. If my people who call by my name, you have it on the screen? Call by my name, humble themselves. Or humble yourself. Humble yourself. Everyone prays, so you must pray. Christians, we need to pray. You need to pray. When you are in the presence of God, turn your phone off. Turn it off. Now I understand if you have an emergency. Yes, if you have an emergency, you're waiting for somebody, you know, they might call you. Yes, good. Put it on silence. Yeah, you know. It's not religion. But man, you're in the presence of a living God. honor him, respect God. And there are certain places, even in the courthouse, when you go, you can't go. I was called to be on a jury, man. I was just like, man, they stripped me down. And after I got in there, I realized I could have bought a book. I went in there and I was bored, out of my mind, because they said I couldn't bring anything. I'm like, even my phone? No, you can't bring your phone in because it distracts you. And I know some of us, we don't like, it's good to have our phones, okay? I love my phone. But we trying to stay connected all the time. You know it's not good for your brain? You're constantly on demand. That's one thing that I've learned again this weekend. I fasted my phone because I'm on my phone. I work on my phone. Emails, texts, with my business and everything else. It's like, I fasted that. And I came out, I'm like, yes, yo, wow. The light came on for me again. It's always good to do a detox spiritually. A lot of us, we fast for natural purposes. Good reason, you fast to lose weight. It's good. But you gain no spiritual benefit. And I want to give some time right now, I'll ask Kendra to come up. I don't know if any of the others want to share. But I tell you, my heart is aching. I thank God for the passion he's giving me for his church. I love you guys. But I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to say, hey, there's the river. Let's go to the river. If you want to go, follow me. I'm not going to be like Moses. Because Moses got frustrated. The people were stubborn. They frustrate him. The Lord said, do this. And then, the Lord said, speak to the rock. But Moses wanted to really strike the people. He hit the rock. God says, no, don't focus on them. When I tell you to do something, you stay faithful. Their judgment will come. That's why I will tell you the truth the way it is. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to tell you, if your life is not right with Jesus, make it right. Don't sleep with the world. Make your life right. Love God with all your might. Passionately. Why? Because the world is so passionate, right? In us, in you. It's time to make a bold stand.
Yeah, so my testimony is we are so crazy busy right now. We are ripping up the carpet in the bedrooms and putting hardwood floor. Pauline can identify with me. So stuff is... And I'm like, okay, God, what should I fast? And kind of fasted my phone last week when I went with Ricardo, so I didn't feel my phone. And I fasted last month for a couple days for the first time in years, so I didn't feel that. And I asked him, what do you want me to fast? And he said, time. I said, you want me to be here for the whole 24 hours, God? Time. And I woke up twice last week with this phrase, pour water on the altar. It's like, what's that? And looked in the Bible, there's quite a few stories about the one we might remember is Elijah or Elisha pouring water on the altar. Water is precious. It's our lifeline. And then God consumed it and sucked it up. And I'm like, okay. So right now, what's precious to me is my time. I don't have time to come here for 24 hours. Literally, I was barking orders at Alyssa before I left Friday. Don't forget to do this. I got to do all this. And it took me a couple hours to just be able to think, like Ricardo said. To just get all the lists of things you have to do just to quiet yourself. I brought my bed. I slept in Kathy's office for 5 hours. But I was just over there in that corner praying, read through the Gospels, did flags, you know, listened to all of the different people coming up. And yeah, God showed through right at the beginning, and well, maybe we'll share this later, but right at the beginning, he just gave me a word, and it's like when I'm reading through the Gospels, everything was through that lens. You know, prepare the way of the Lord, like John the Baptist said. Prepare your heart, because Jesus is coming. Every low thing, come up. Every high thing, come down. Every crooked path, be made straight. Every rough road, be smooth. Prepare the way of the Lord. So I was like, God, so that's just what I looked at. You know, where are my low places? My high, lofty, prideful places. My crooked places. My rough places. And yeah, he took me on a journey all day. And at 7 o'clock last night, I was like, I don't want to go home. I could stay here a couple more hours. But like Ricardo said, there's stuff you got to do. And it's like he's with you in that. But it's just so good to be able to just take some time out. You know, fasting is just getting rid of space in your head, in your life, and focusing on Jesus. When I lock eyes on you, I see my reflection. When I lock eyes with you, I feel your affection. I wanna get lost with you, 'cause you're my obsession. So that's what I did. I just locked eyes with Jesus. Locked eyes with him. Let him wash away all the fear of the future, my worries, my anxiety, my pain, your hopelessness. You know, hopelessness is just junk from the past that clouds your future. He just washed it all away. So whether you fasted food or your phone or maybe something that you really, really like candy, you know, whatever it was, my prayer for you as I prayed for you this weekend was for you to just give God space and time so that he can lock eyes with you. Hey, look at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I gotcha. I gotcha. I needed this weekend. Is there anybody else that has a testimony? I know Melissa was here for hours and hours. Ron, my buddy, oh, we painted, we danced, we read the word. David's tent is awesome. You have something, Ron? Okay. And we partnered with David's tent, and so they brought in a lot of really fun, different things. They read through the whole Bible, and so there's a Bible back there, and when you're done with the chapter, somebody else picks up the next chapter. They had art, flags, worship. Ron brought his cot.
I was the third musketeer. And we did the full burn, guys. Yeah, I brought my cot. I was ready to hunker down here. I brought a cot. I brought food. I told Ricardo I brought food. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he looked in the fridge. He's like, oh, hey. I brought it all. I was ready to stay. He used my bed more than I did. He took it out of the nursery and shoved it in his office. His office was warm. It was really toasty. But yeah, think about it. The last time we did this was, what, April last year. Almost a whole year has gone by. Think about how much has happened from that time until now. So this weekend was not just important, it was necessary. And even the week, it's been a week. I'm sure for a lot of you, it's been a week. I had a thing happen to me on Tuesday. We don't know what it is, but it happened, and I was in the emergency room, and I've got doctors disagreeing with each other, and I was like, okay, that's nice. I'm thankful that I have access to you, but I'm going to let you figure it out. I need to be here. I need to tell it to the cross. You can tell it to your books and whatever, but I need to tell it to the cross. And they had all the stations. They had the dance station. They had the prayer table. They had Ezra's platform. We read through the Bible. We had the art table back there, and I did them all. Yes. Yes, I danced. They had a whole train going, and Kendra grabbed me, and we all danced up here. So I tried all the flavors. And what was really speaking out to me is, you know, I saw it first in those leaflets that we have in the lobby. There's one where it said, you know, I'm just not ready. And it's a picture of a guy sitting on the couch, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm not ready. You know, I'm just not ready to do this right now. I'm not ready to fully commit yet. I'm not ready to fully give myself to God. I'm not ready to connect to God. I'm not ready to stay connected to God. You know, just something is holding me back, and I'm just not ready to get over it yet. Well, stop it. Today is the day. The hour is now. This is the time for salvation. It might not be available to you tomorrow, so you need it now. And then we're at Ezra's platform, and I saw it again. It just kind of spoke to me in Jeremiah 42. And just, you know, we read through that entire book last night, and I read, 10 chapters of it myself. And, you know, there's so many things going on in that book. I just finished reading it, and I was back in it again, and just reminding myself, there's so much going on. There's so many things that are happening to these people. And up until that point, you know, Jerusalem had been sacked. The Babylonians came in, and they tore everything down, and they took all of their riches and all their people, and they left the poorest to work the fields and to harvest, you know, all of the rich fruits. And they appointed a governor. And then the Ammonites came in, and they killed that governor, and they took all of them away, you know, and some of the soldiers from Babylon came back because they found out what had happened. And they took all those people back, and they all went to Jeremiah, and they said, will you take our petition before the Lord and pray for this remnant? We were once many, but now we're a few. So please pray for us. Ask God where we should go and what we should do. And don't hold anything back. Let us know. Let us know if it's good news. Let us know if it's bad news. Jeremiah, he's like, okay, you asked for it. And he comes back 10 days later and he tells him, if you stay in this land, if you stay in the land of Judah, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and I will not uproot you. Great promise, okay? It's great promise. What's the other side of that? If you decide to disobey and go to Egypt, where you say, we will not know war and we will not be hungry, they have bread there, we're starving here, well then the sword that you're afraid of will follow you there, and the famine that you are afraid of will follow you there, and you will die. It's hard to stay in Judah. It's hard to stay here planted in God and to do the work. But when you do it, you will be rewarded. And it's just so rich how you will be rewarded. You will be multiplied. You will be supplied. You will be provided for. You don't have to worry about the sword that you're afraid of or the famine that you're afraid of, whatever disease that you're afraid of. You don't have to be afraid of it as long as you stay in God. But if you go running away, you're going to die. And that just, it really spoke to me, you know, just to get back to that, you know. So whatever's holding you back, whatever you're saying that I'm just not ready, you know, if you get off the couch, get out of bed, open the door, You know, do the Peter thing. Get out of the boat. Whatever you need to do, just do it. It seems hard, but with God, all things are possible.
Anybody else? You don't need to. If you were here, is there anything the Lord was doing in your heart? Oh, yes. Come on here, my sister.
I need someone to hold my hand. Because I normally don't do this. So.
That's all right. That's why we like it.
But, so I came, was it Friday night? And the first group was really loud for me, which I know people worship differently. And I'm more quiet. And I also like to do crafts. And so sometimes I have listen to people on YouTube, and she's a Christian, she's in England, and she talks about doing art, and that's an expression, because sometimes the enemy tries to say, well, you're wasting your time, and I do things to try to, I make cards for some people. I've had people say that it really touched them because nobody was thinking of them, so I think that's what the Lord's using me for. So I found this woman, and I just thought, this really has helped me, because now I can tell the enemy, no, I'm doing what God's told me to do. God tells us to do things. He hasn't called me to preach or to sing. He's just called me to do what I'm supposed to do. And so as they were singing, and I did see Ron dancing, and I was in the corner over there, and I didn't really fast. The Lord had said, or at least to myself, I thought, fasting is, I need to be quiet, because once people do know me, I tend to talk too much. I will sometimes say, when we go to our group, which I love my group, and we're allowed to just, we speak and we can tell truth, and we can, in our group, like Janet leads our group, and she'll say, you know, I sinned this week, and you're like, wow, she's confessing to us, which we're supposed to confess, and we're not supposed to judge each other and forgive. And
Come on, so I
just sat in the corner, and I was going to be, I said, you know, I need to be quiet. And of course, when I said, you know, when you live with somebody, and my husband, I said, you know, I might fast from not talking. And he's like, well, I don't know if that's going to be possible. And you're like, oh, you know, felt like I got struck down. And so I just sat over there, and I have this is Psalms and Proverbs. It's called The Focused Life. And I just, when I first came in, I know you're not, people say, you know, you don't just point to a verse and go, that's what the Lord's telling me, but there's a lot of division in our world, and I'll get on YouTube and watch things, and people are, I mean, even in Christianity, there's division. It's really heartbreaking, because you're watching something like The Chosen, which you feel is speaking to you, or it's reaching other people that don't know Jesus. And then, of course, there's videos on YouTube. You shouldn't watch The Chosen because it's this, this, and this. And it's like, I know it's not exactly what Jesus was telling to Mary Magdalene, but because that's just the author's interpretation of what might have happened. But they are following the scripture. There's the music. People have, I mean, I went to a church where it was hymns, but I felt growing up it was dead. It was like a funeral, and they didn't go to heaven. It's just nobody had love in their heart. And you cannot, I mean, if you raised your hand, people are going to probably go, they're raising their hands. Or like you said, the dress, you wore a certain dress. I know that's just how some of us are grown up, and you dress. I had clothes you wore to church, and you couldn't wear those to school, and the school clothes you couldn't play in. So that's just how you were raised. And
that's right. Come on.
It's nothing wrong with you wearing shorts or t-shirts, or it's just, you know, God doesn't say that, you know, I don't accept you because you're not doing this. And it's just sometimes you're trying to follow a path. And well, the conflict with Israel is really disturbing because you support Israel, but then you also feel bad for the people that are in Palestine, and you know there are some Christians in Palestine, and so you feel in your heart like you don't want people suffering. You have the crisis at the border, and people are taking everything is taking a side. And I know you take a side for Jesus, and there's times you stand for him, but I'm still like, I'm in the middle, because I feel like there's some compassion for the people, like people coming across the border illegally. You're like, you know, there are some bad people, but there's some good people. They're families. They just want to have a better life.
That's right.
And sorry, because if we're on a train ride and we should be going to Chesapeake, and I'll take you to Denver, Colorado before we get back. That's just how I am. It's the details. Which Jesus is, a God is about the details too. There's a song and I like that. But so when I did open the verse, it was in Psalm, and he just mentioned about Israel, and I was like, oh wow, I felt like the Lord was speaking. And then there were some other words. I just was reading Psalms, and in Psalm 50:23, it says, thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. And I was thinking, it's November, it's Thanksgiving. And then also there were some different verses, and I just wrote them all down. I kept going through, about your path. And that's like, we are on a path. Our path is following Christ. Our path in the Bible tells us is not, I mean, it's easy to, we do right and follow Christ, but the world's trying to take us down a different path. And so I drew a little picture, like there's a path. I'm supposed to stay on this path. There's little yields where the world's going, come here. And so, you know, you're trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, read the word, pray. And I admit I'm not great at praying. And it's like when Kendra, one time we had prayer, she's like, we're all going to get in groups and pray. And I'm like, oh, no, no. We do that in group too. We're like, Janet will say, I'm going to lead the prayer. I'm going to close the prayer. And who wants to pray? And we're all like scared to pray. It's just talking to God. I mean, he's our friend. And I know we do respect him. He's holy. But we can just say, Lord, I feel like this today. And we can be honest, because he already knows. We can't run like Jonah did. He knows what we're feeling. So I just felt the path and staying on the path and trying to, you know, the world's throwing these things at me. And even supposedly other Christians are saying, well, you shouldn't do this, or, you know, don't listen to this music, because don't read this translation. And I'm like, but all these translations can speak to me in a different verse. Sometimes one verse is like, wow, that just makes more sense to me. And so the quiet did come into play. I felt that the Lord's not saying maybe I be quiet so much to other people, but be quiet, listen to him. And not to be, I'm very judgmental about myself, which it's very hard. I just, you know, I have to work on that with the Lord. I just stay on the path. Be loving to people, no matter who they are, whether they are transgender, I had some Muslim neighbors, which they lived there 2 years. I loved them. They were the most warm, compassionate people for me. The wife didn't even speak English, but they always would come out and say hi. She tried to communicate with us. My husband would use like a phone with his translator, and they were always like bringing food over. And even at Christmas, when they had three girls and we were giving them a gift, and you're like, well, I believe in Jesus and I don't want to offend people, but they took the Christmas gift. It wasn't like, oh, we can't accept it. We still communicate with them through text, and they've moved. They live in New Jersey. And, you know, before they left, it was right during COVID, and so my husband bought them a Bible off of Amazon. They were from Turkey, and so he bought them a Turkish Bible, and they accepted it, which I said, all you can do really is plant the seeds. I mean, I guess I sometimes expect I'm supposed to be like winning the people, and maybe Jesus is just saying, plant the seed and don't go. That's all you have to do. Dig a hole, plant the seed. Someone else can come along and water it. But if you just plant the seed, maybe the seed's in the back of their mind. Because it's hard to go up to strangers and tell them, to tell them about Jesus. And it's, you go out now to the stores and people are just so mad. and hurt. You can see the hurt. I analyze charts for Sentara, and every day I see the hurt in people, whether it's sickness or mental. And there's a lot of mental, and a lot of mental anguish does cause physical pain. And it's like, we just need to go out there, not hit them over the head with the Bible, just to be loving. Loving can break open the door. I went one time to, I woke up one Saturday, and there was all the conflict in the world. And you do get discouraged. I mean, we know in the end, it says in Revelations, God wins, but we're waiting for the judgment of these people that we think are bad. And we just, you know, so I got up and I was in a bad mood, which I have, you know, I'm getting on myself because I shouldn't be in a bad mood. I live in America. I have so many actual material blessings that other people don't have. And I just was this, you know, in a bad spirit. And I went to Walmart and to get groceries, and I was just trying to put on and be nice to people and smile. And you see people and you smile, and some don't smile, but some people do. And then there was the guy in the meat department, and he was really nice, and he's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing good, thank you. And I smiled, and I went to go to another section, and he came over to me, and he said, oh, I just want to let you know, you have a really nice smile. And, you know, and you should keep smiling. And I said, and it came, I don't know how, I guess it was the Holy Spirit took over, and I said, I only am smiling because of Jesus. Right. And you know what he said? I knew it. Mm. I was like, wow. And he knew Jesus too, and I was like, and he told me his story of how he was in prison, and he found Jesus, and how now, and when we were talking, anybody that walked by, he kept speaking to the customers. Some people were like, hey, back, and some were like, they were just ugly. And I said, well, you keep saying hello. That's, you know, we just got to do the first step. Hello or hi. Sometimes it can break the barrier. We need to talk about Jesus. And if they don't want to accept him, that's not on us. It's just we tell them about him. It's Jesus. He's the one that's going to change their heart. And maybe it's not today, maybe down the road. They'll remember what we said. And I just, everything that you said, I was like, wow, the same thing that the Lord was saying to the pastor, to Kendra, to Ron, I'm like, he was saying the same things to me. Some of the things that all of you said, I'm like, wow, I was writing that down. It was coming to mind. And I'm like, wow, that's how God works. He's just, it's, we're all in the same, like, in tune to each other. And I was glad I came. I was just, I don't know. When I left, I left at midnight. I didn't stay the whole 24 hours. I was tired, but I just, things were going through my mind, and I was thinking about them. And then I woke up with a really bad, like, sinus headache, and I just kind of hung around the house. I listened to some podcasts from Dr. Stanley about prayer. He said the same thing you did about the prayer. I'm like, wow, there's the Lord talking again. And, I don't know. I just, people say the Lord, if you say that the Lord speaks to you and people aren't Christians, they think you're like, oh, that's woo-woo, that's weird. I mean, they can go talk to demonic forces and go to a seance or whatever, but when you say, but I'm like, he does speak. He doesn't, and all the time he doesn't yell at you. He's just, says in the Bible,
he does speak.
Quiet whisper, and I just have to know to be quiet at the right time so I can hear his whisper.
Yep. That's good. Thank you for sharing.
This is a miracle, right? Put your hands together. That's good. So if anybody's saying the Lord's not speaking, check your hearing aids, your spiritual ears, because he does speak. Anybody else? That's good. That's good. Anybody else that was here yesterday? But I also want to take this time to thank those of you who weren't able to make it here, but you were with us in spirit. And you took, listen, when I call, you know, God placed me here as the angel of the church. I am, under Jesus Christ, the authority, the little pastor. So when I have a vision,
I call you to do something, and you're doing something else, you are in disobedience. I am called to follow Jesus and to lead you with Jesus. So there is great blessing as when we, as one, following together the Lord's direction. So yeah, I understand. I want to acknowledge some of you, you weren't able to physically make it here, but you did your part. And I'm sure it was meaningful. I'm sure it was, you know, and I say, the Lord bless you for this. Let us continue to be remain obedient to the Lord. And I want to finish with this. And then as we, before we go, you're going to worship the Lord with your money, tithes and offering. Thank you so much. If you can notice, I don't know if some of you are, can, you might be able to. Do you, can you see a difference or hear a difference in our sound? Can you? All right, so we're working, we're trying to really working at fixing, dealing with feedback and get upgrading some of our speakers that have been here since the church was built, you know, and they we fixed them many times. Some of those microphones are like veteran microphones. Dan has soldered them and fixed cables, so we are very thankful. And also, I am so thankful for the Lord's provision. But I also, at the same time, I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe if the Lord lays on your heart to do Thanksgiving, a special Thanksgiving offering towards some of the sound stuff we may be doing, God bless you. Okay? But guys, who does? Gary. Gary has something to say. Oh, you do? Who's Gary? Okay, yeah, absolutely. These guys, they don't talk often, so when they want to talk, you better give them the mic.
Amen. I just wanted to take a moment to thank everybody for the thank you for your service cards that you filled out that my wife snuck behind my back. And mailed those. We was able to go yesterday, my grandson and I, on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. There was four busloads of veterans, and each one had a guardian, and we went to different memorials. We started off, I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the buses left at 6 off out of Newport News, and we went to the Marine Museum. We went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and saw the changing of the guard and a wreath presentation. We went to the Vietnam War Memorial, the Korean Memorial. There were several stops that we went to, so it was a long day. And then on the way home, we stopped in Fredericksburg and ate. So we got back on the bus, and everybody was tired. A lot of walking and seeing and stuff. And then they hollered out mail call, and they started calling us by name, and they gave me a big 10 by 13 manila envelope full of thank yous. And these are the ones from the church. And I just want to thank each one of you individually that took the time to honor my service in the Navy. It was an awesome trip. And I was able to bond very well with my grandson, who went as my guardian. I was tired, so he pushed me in a wheelchair half the time. But we got to see the things together and just talk. But on the way home, about 8 o'clock at night is when they did the mail call, and it took me an hour to look and read all the thank yous that was inside this envelope. So I just wanted to tell you, it touched my heart. It meant a lot to me. And I thank you for doing that and reaching out with love. So I give my love back to you.
Yes. We love you, and we receive your love. Okay, yeah. You see that big, very, very big thank you from the Bournes. They're actually traveling for these people who are celebrating another year. Lord, we thank you that they were born, and we thank you that you put them in our lives. Today, we celebrate them, Father. We bless them with good health. We also bless them with good, I mean, just what the Bible says. Brother, I pray that you prosper from every aspect in your life as your spirit prospers. So as they prosper in their relationship with you, Jesus, I declare and decree that they will prosper at every level. Keep them safe, Lord, and we love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, guess what? We'll call it a day. Let's stand. And then before I ask the ushers to stand in the back, as you walk outside, you can bless the Lord with your tithes and offering. And for those of you watching online, keep it in Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Keep it in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Now I pray that your favor and your blessing rests over these, your sons and your daughters. May we be known as sons and daughters of the light. As it seems like darkness is increased, we know that light is forever increasing as well. So therefore, Father, light our fire. Keep us passionate about you. May we be known as people of discipline, people of character, people of ethic. Even when, the Bible says, even when people say we do things, they cannot find argument. They cannot prove what they're saying because we are sons and daughters of righteousness. Lord, I pray that your favor and blessing would rest upon each person here. Now may the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding dwell with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day and an awesome week.